Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet for up to $500. Terms and conditions do apply, so go get the details at winbet.com and download the app today. And we're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And Underdog Fantasy. Sign up at UnderdogFantasy.com with promo code SGPN and receive a free $25 entry to use in the Best Ball Mania 2 for a chance to win $1 million. And, of course, do not forget to go download the SGPN app in the App Store or Google Play Store today. All right, welcome back, DJs, for a very quick recap of the 3M, and we're going to do an Olympic preview tonight. And it's myself, Boston Capper, the god of golf, Steve Shermer. Are you excited about the Olympics?
You know, I think I am. We'll talk about the format. We'll talk about maybe if we should care, things we should change. But I think first we got to briefly touch on the 3M. Yeah, I mean, listen, my weekend was all right. I had a bunch of matchups. I had a bunch of top 20s. I live bet a lot of stuff on Thursday and Friday. I had a lot of guys in the mix. I had a 100-1 on Hadwin that I bet on Thursday. He was 36 hole leader. Had a 140-1 on Armour. I took a little bit on Schwartzel. I took a little bit on McNealy. And yeah, Cam Champ decided to gain a bazillion strokes putting and ruin my weekend with that. So that's okay, though. You know, maybe a slight loss, but yeah, we're fine. Still got the bankroll to go into the Olympics.
Yeah, I was not only because I had pre-tourney on Vegas. Obviously, he's one of my guys. So the fact that he left two putts on par threes, a total of maybe 8 inches short, was fucking heartbreaking. Like, I was very upset about that. And then he had the chance to eagle. I really thought it was going to go, and he did that little dance, and I thought it was going to drop. And I really think if he had dropped that fucking eagle and Champ would have had to make par, like, he wasn't going into that. The disaster on 18. Talk about terrible course management. One time in your life you'll get away with that is there. I mean, that was amazing that he made it. But if he had the pressure to have to make par, there's no way he goes up there and stuffs that wedge like he did. No way. Well, Not after that tee shot and the chunk into the rough. Like, no fucking way.
Well, the commentators were making a big deal. He knew he was up two, right? Because they were trying to say, like, he didn't.
I think
he was just deciding on the lie of if he can actually clear the water, because then it's just like, all right, just I would much rather, if I had a shot to get to the green, I'd rather just get there and then just get up and down for par or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Instead of have, like, a 130-yard wedge shot for my fourth.
Right.
I mean, a lot of stuff can go wrong there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. I feel like if he didn't know he could get away with six, like, he would have tightened up. He definitely would have tightened up.
Yeah.
He might have took that driver and iron off instead of the driver at that point, too. So who fucking knows? Whatever. Yeah. It is what it is. Good for Champ. I have no idea how fucking everybody landed on him at 125, 150-1. But, like, lots of tickets on Twitter.
I'll tell you why. There is a group of people who bet him every tournament because his Cam Champ, he has a high upside. And I totally get it. He does have a very high ceiling. And whenever you hit the ball really far as he does, if he finds a little magic with the putter, he's going to have a good finish. And I mean, if you want to look, he was one of the worst golfers this year. Like, I showed you.
Oh my gosh. So terrible.
Yeah. I think he missed six straight cuts.
Yeah.
He finally found a little form at the John Deere where he started to actually putt well. That was the first time he gained strokes putting all year at the John Deere. And then he led the field putting at the 3M. And he didn't even hit the ball great that week. He was 27th tee to green. He just made everything on the sun. So you know what? It is what it is. Maybe I should have recognized on Thursday or Friday he kind of had it and just bet it at, I don't know, a worse number. But that's all right. It is what it is.
Yeah, living, learning. I was still arguing with Nagels late Saturday night. I was like, fucking, I was dug in, man. I dig in because I wait for that champ meltdown because I've had money on him before. You know what I mean? And like, he just wasn't the same this year. And whatever, man. Fucking, I was wrong. Shocking.
Do you know how many messages I woke up to, by the way?
Oh, I don't know. At least 40.
81. 81 between you two.
Yeah, man.
Just arguing about nonsense. Like, yeah. I can't even follow what you guys are even arguing right now. Like, you wanted to bet him Vegas straight up. He didn't want to take your money. And then Nate started quote texting you the following day about all your drunk texts. That's not very nice, Jeff.
No, it's not.
Not very nice to take advantage of drunk Boston capper with his hot takes and then throw it back in his face the next day. That's not very nice.
Exactly. I don't troll him with his fucking takes. That's it. At least he kept it private. That's fine.
All right. Anything else we want to touch on?
I mean,
second again.
Yeah, poor Louis. I think this course is actually harder than the British Open, though.
I mean, there's more water.
I mean,
I'll give you that. It's more water. Just because it's harder doesn't make it better.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It was a more difficult track. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, with the wind up and they're more water. Yeah, sure. I will give you that. But harder doesn't make it better.
That was actually really good. Was it Saturday? I don't remember. It was Friday or Saturday.
It was up too.
Yeah, but I think it was Saturday when people just went to die. Like it was bad. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine if they were struggling in those conditions, what you and me would do on that course?
Oh, God, no.
That course is a disaster.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. I complain about the water I play with here.
That's the worst course on tour they play. You cannot persuade me otherwise.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. All right. Why don't we move on to, before we get to Olympics, why don't we do what everybody else is doing? Why don't we talk about the Ryder Cup?
Sure.
Why don't we get a little status update? We are 2 months away.
Yeah, a little less, right?
From the Ryder Cup, yeah. So we probably should just give a little update about where the teams are. We'll get our thoughts and everything. So why don't we start with a good old Team USA?
Yup.
So as a reminder, we get 6 automatic picks and then 6 captain's picks. So the guys that are in the auto selections right now, you got Colin Morikawa. He's a lock to get us. Actually, you know what? After I say the name, you tell me if you want them to drop out of the top 6 or if you're cool with it. Okay.
All right,
that's what everybody cares about. Your hot takes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Colin Morikawa, do you want him on the team?
Of course.
Okay. Dustin Johnson, do you want him on the team?
Yeah.
Bryson DeChambeau, do you want him on the team?
Yes.
I agree. He makes a lot of birdies.
Yeah.
He's going to be really good in 4-ball at Whistling Straits. Do not put him in foursomes. Who's the captain? Stricker?
Yeah, Stricker. Stricker won't do it.
That would be stupid. Don't put him in foursomes. Put him in 4-ball. He's going to make a lot of birdies. He's going to be good. Brooks Koepka, you want him on the team?
Of course.
Okay. Justin Thomas, you want him on the team?
Yeah, actually. I think
he's pretty good in the team.
Yeah, defense. I agree. Yeah.
He's got a good tracker. Xander Schauffele, do you want him on the team?
I guess.
Okay. Can I say a little something about Xander Schauffele? Am I in the nest right now?
Of course you're in the nest, yes.
So he was paired with Patrick Cantlay, your favorite golfer, at the President's Cup. And they always want to try and link the two because they're apparently the new team. I distinctly remember Cantlay carrying Xander for the President's Cup. Xander was not very good. And sorry, Jeff Nagels, but that's the truth. You want to go back and look at the footage. Xander was pretty bad the first couple of days. Patrick Cantlay was actually the one bailing him out. So I'm hoping Xander is actually a little better this time. I think he's going to do pretty well at Whistling Straits. That kind of fits his game.
I think so.
But, yeah, I mean, if he's going to be on the team, Cantlay will be his partner. Hopefully he can contribute a little more in the team play. All right, now it gets interesting. So I'm going to go through your list of candidates. You tell me if it's yes or no for captain's pick. Jordan Spieth, yes or no?
Yes, absolutely yes.
All right, we are up to 7 now.
Yep.
Patrick Reed, yes or no?
Absolutely yes.
Okay. Harris English, yes or no?
No.
He's 8th right now in points.
Gross.
Okay. I actually agree with that.
Wait, I don't want him in it.
I don't think I want him either. Okay. No. Patrick Cantlay, yes or no? He's 10th in points. Or 9th in points. I'm sorry, 10th in points.
Yeah, actually. I actually do.
He's a good putter.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Daniel Berger, yes or no? He's 11th.
No, absolutely not.
He's a maybe for me.
What we got? What do we got? Nine now?
I mean, Berger finished what? Top 10 at the Open. He finished top 10 at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, that's true.
Playing pretty good. He's a good putter. You need a guy like that.
All right, Berger, fine, maybe.
All right. 12th is Tony Finau.
This is tough because this form is absolute trash, but he's so long. And
I don't think we need the length, though. We got Bryson. We got Brooks. We got DJ. Got Xander.
Fine. Okay, fine. Take him off.
All right. So we've taken off. So we have two spots then.
We got two?
You have two spots left. Okay. 13th in points, Webb Simpson.
Fuck no.
I agree. Although, you know what? Someone's going to have to be partners with Bryson. He's the token.
No.
I know
who I want to partner with Bryson.
Who would that be?
Phil.
Come on. You really want Phil to be on this team?
I do. I absolutely do.
Why? Justify. Why?
So, one.
Do you want to win this event?
I do, man. I'm telling you right now, he can have the blow up holes, but when the money is on the table and that putt needs to be made, or you need, like, I'm telling you, man, like, there's something about it when the money is on the table. Phil's a great, I'm telling you, I do want Phil on the team. I do.
What happened when he rope hooked a two iron into the drink 150 yards off the tee in France? What happened there?
It happens, dude.
There's a lot of money on the line there.
Where's our veteran? Where's our guy to hold this shit together when shit goes
DJ,
sideways?
DJ, Brooks, Spieth.
Oh, Brooks Reed. Isn't holding anything together. No one's listening to Reed. Fucking Spieth is quiet as a church mouse. Like, no, there is no leadership on the scene. That is what's terrifying. There's none. Like, none.
Phil can be an assistant. All right, come on.
I guess. All right, fine. I'm telling you, I'd be perfectly fine with it.
All right, fine. Let's move on. So no Webb. You want Phil. Let's put Phil on the team then.
Fine.
Jason Kokrak, you want him on the team?
I'd rather one other guy. I don't mind Kokrak, but I'd rather another dude.
How about Scottie Scheffler?
That's who I want on.
That's who I want to.
That's who I want.
Yeah.
Like, his profile really fits this course, like, long hitter, like, he's always great until he double bogeys 16 on Saturday or Sunday, and he still is always right in the mix. Like, that's fine for like this.
Yeah, and I want to bring him along because he's going to be the future of this team.
I agree.
So I bring him along. Okay, so your team is Morikawa, DJ, DeChambeau, Koepka, JT, Xander, Spieth, Reed, Phil.
Yeah, Phil.
Cantlay, Berger, Scott Scheffler.
So who would you take instead of Phil?
I would probably take, honestly, Jason Kokrak.
All right, fine. I'd be fine with that.
Dude makes putts.
Oh, listen.
And he's got length off the tee. I would rather take Kokrak than Phil at this point.
I get it. Like, I don't know, man. I just feel like, even though Brooks came out and was like, it's not really a team thing. It's golf and I can deal with anybody for a week. I do feel like there needs to be like an actual veteran present. And that's fine. If he's going to be the assistant, fine. But that's one thing for them to listen to him as an assistant. It's another thing for him to go out there and make some fucking fill shots to fucking win some holes. You know what I mean?
I think Kokrak is versatile too. You can put him in foursome. You can put him in four ball because he's a good putter. You can have him in alternate shot because he's long off the box. He makes a lot of birdies. Phil's just a waste of space. I'm sorry.
Jesus, man. I think that he's gone too far with you on Phil.
I love Phil. I care a lot about this Ryder Cup team, and I don't want any.
You root for Team Europe.
Get to that in a second. Right. Why don't we talk about Team Europe then?
All right, fine.
So let's just go through another list of the nine guys, and I want you to just admit, be truthful. Do you like him or not? We're in account, okay? John Rahm.
Come on.
Is that one of your boys? Okay. Tommy Fleetwood, we don't have to talk about you.
Yeah. Although, we'll get to this in the Olympics. Fleetwood's grown on me a little bit.
Really?
Well, here's why, though, right? So it's because I stay away and I don't bet him anymore and I don't have him on DFS. So the hatred, I just hate when everybody gets behind him when he hasn't done anything on U.S. soil. But, like, his social media, he's very proud to go play. Like, he's growing on me a little bit, a little bit, a little bit.
What if I told you he's wearing a visor this week?
Whatever, dude. Whatever.
All right. We'll see how you feel at midnight on Saturday when you're live betting everybody and you're about 15 gin and tonics deep and you're blowing up the Slack channel with everything like I was covering with the Open Championship in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you got the night shift. I got the night shift. There you go. All right, fine. Terrell Hatton, that's one of your boys.
Obviously.
We're up to two. Matthew Fitzpatrick, how do you feel about him?
He's fine. He's not one of my boys, but he's fine.
All right, three. Roy McIlroy.
So he's playing in the Olympics under the Irish flag?
No, it's just the European flag.
Yeah, I know, but I'm telling you, like, because he's doing that.
Oh, okay.
Back on.
That's your boy. Okay. Fine.
He's playing for the right island. It's not four. We'll give you three. Fitzy's fine. He's a bosh.
Three and a half. Here's another full one. Victor Hovland. You like him?
Yes, absolutely.
Four and a half. Paul Casey.
No, I hate Paul Casey.
All right. Lee Westwood.
I like Lee Westwood.
All right. Five and a half. Shane Lowry.
Yeah, come on. You don't like Lowry.
Do you like six and a half of the top nine guys? That's more than you like on Team USA.
Is it? No. Yeah.
You like Morikawa, you like DJ.
Yeah.
You're tolerant of Brooks.
Tolerant of Brooks, yeah.
JT's a stretch if you like him.
Fine, that's fine. He's
Don't like Xander.
I don't like Xander. But, well, here's the deal. But it's not like I don't like Xander. Like, I just, it's like when people get behind something that is not, like, his numbers are always too short. There's no reason logically for it. So I just immediately oppose it. Xander's probably a very nice dude. I don't hate anything he does on the course. It's kind of like Peyton Manning.
And you hate Peyton Manning.
I hate Peyton Manning fans. They are so bad. Like, they had no argument in the world. And all they wanted to do was chirp, 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 chirp. It's the same thing with Xander fans. And Xander fans, it's like, listen, take the fucking blinders off for a minute. Analyze what you're actually looking at. And, like, that's what it is. I don't legitimately have a problem with Xander. It's just the fact that he doesn't win. Why is his number so goddamn short? Why is he always so fucking popular? That's my problem with it. It's the swell of people. It's not so much Xander. Does that make sense?
All right, fine. I'm giving you a half between JT and Xander. That's one half of a person you like. So you're up to three and a half. All right, you like Spieth, that's four and a half. You like Reed, five and a half.
Yep.
You love Phil, six and a half. You hate Cantlay. Don't like Berger.
Correct. I like Scheffler.
Fine. You like seven and a half or 12.
Okay.
All right, and we've only gone through nine guys. So Team Europe, you're at six and a half.
All right, fair enough.
Now it gets a little rough. The back end of Europe is always a little tough. So 10th, 11th, 12th, you got Victor Perez, who is not going to be on the team. Not with the way he's playing.
No.
Big shot Bob McIntyre, who I know you like.
Yeah. Scott's
all right. Seven and a half guys you like.
Jesus, fuck. Is he? Oh, never mind. Sorry.
He's 11th, and I think he's going to be on the team.
All right.
And then Guido Migliozzi. He's 12th.
Listen. The Italian-Irish rivalry is fine. I do like his energy and I like his fist bump. So I'll give you Guido.
I don't think he's going to be on the team. I think they're going to end up bringing two veterans. So I think they're going to take two of
Sergio,
Poulter, Sergio, or Rose.
They should take Poulter and Sergio. Fuck Rose.
I agree with that, but I think they're going to take Rose and they're going to take Poulter.
They're not taking Sergio.
Good.
Let him make the mistake.
I think they should take Sergio as well. I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to look and be like, all right, Poulter is the fire. We want somebody to get under Bryson's skin or something. And I think
Bryson will melt down if he is.
I think Patrick Herridge is going to be like, Justin Rose is your last stand. Here you go. I don't agree with it, but I think that's what's going to happen.
Good. I hope they do that. I really do. Lee, how do you leave Sergio off a fucking Ryder Cup team?
I don't know.
Terrible decision if that's what they do. But I think what about Peters? I thought Peters was up there.
Peters is not doing very good.
Okay.
He's like 30th in the points. And
oh, damn. Okay, never mind.
Maybe if he does something this week, he might climb back in the mix. But no, he's buried. I mean, Thomas Dietrich is higher in the list than Peters.
Yeah, Thomas Dietrich is actually good.
Yeah. Matt Wallace, like 18th. Bernd Wiesberg is up there. I think they're going to do two veterans and Big Shot Bob. That's actually not a bad team.
That's a pretty good team.
Fitzpatrick, Rory, Hovland, Casey, Westwood, Lowry, Poulter, Big Shot Bob, and either Rose or Sergio.
Yeah, what's the juice for us to win too? It's like minus one.
Minus 170. So that's another question.
What would
it take for you?
Never. I will never bet Europe to win. I won't. I'm telling you. It's just like I won't bet if the Yankees were in the World Series, I'd figure out a prop to do. I would not fucking bet the Yankees to win the World Series.
So there's nothing happened Team USA in order for you to bet Europe. Like, what if they just decide we don't want Patrick Reed on the team?
That would be fucking retarded.
What if they what if they leave Scottie Scheffler home and they bring like Max?
I'm not gonna listen. We'll get to that person when we get there. But I don't think there's anything. I would literally just like pick my matchups instead of just, you know what I mean? Like, I would just bet it that way. And I would put a small, very small bet on the USA and hope that all my matchups came through.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, man, you can't put money on Euro. You got to feel dirty. But what's the plus odds, though?
It's plus 140.
That's not enough. That's not enough for me to go.
You go 12 to 1 for a tie.
Ugh, gross. Kissing your sister.
I'll have a discussion about this when we talk about it in 2 months. About how you can, well, I don't think there is a justification if you're American to bet.
Right. Correct.
Or if you're European to bet the Americans. I don't think there's justification. You have to bet your own side.
That's it, man. Root for the laundry, baby.
All right. Why don't we take a break?
All right. Listen, WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today, and you'll receive a special offer of up to $500 risk-free sports bets. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WYNNBET.com and download the app today. And listen, PropSwap, it's America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Football season is about to kick off, and PropSwap is here to make this your best season ever. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win to make money. It just needs to improve. For example, the Atlanta Falcons are 80-1 to win the Super Bowl and have the easiest strength of schedules in the league. If you think they'll get off to a hot stat, make that 80-1 bet before the season and then sell for a big profit after only a couple of weeks. The average seller on PropSwap makes over $500 per month. Just listing and selling tickets. And when making your bets, remember to go for two. Make two tickets on the same team so you can sell one for a profit and keep one and leave yourself some skin in the game. It's a pretty good goddamn idea. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets.
All right.
That's a pretty good idea.
That is a good idea.
That's a good idea.
I like
that. And if you guys heard clicking again, I just threw it off my desk. I know Steve says I'm to me before. I had a giant binder and I'm fidgety and I smoke cigarettes. And so when I don't smoke cigarettes, I start fidgeting even more. And I was playing with it again. I just threw it off the desk so I wouldn't do it. So sorry for the clicking.
It just gives you a little bit of an idea of what we do during the podcast. You know, I fiddle with my water bottle. You usually, you know, swirl your drink around and sound like you're clicking a pen or something.
Yeah. It's just one of those big binders. You know, you're flipping back and forth.
No, I get it. Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. Why don't we talk about the Olympics? Before we get into it, let's talk about the format and just high level.
Yeah.
Do you care about this thing at all?
No.
Like if gambling didn't exist, you don't care.
No, because it doesn't make sense. It should be country versus country, not individuals versus individuals.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, I think there's a gripe about the format. Totally. I mean, but this is just more golf for us.
Like, yeah, I'm fine with it. Like, whatever. Yeah. But if I couldn't gamble on, I wouldn't give two shits.
Okay. Yeah. I think there's definitely some flaws with the format. Like, first of all, why are we doing 72 hole stroke play? Like, just like every other tournament. Like, this is what's the difference between this and like WGC China? You know, it's a top heavy field with a bunch of internationals we never heard of. And just 72 holes, no cut event. So, yeah, I mean, I think it. You're right. I think there should be some sort of team element to it. Yeah. I think it should have been match play. Like, what are we doing? Like, match play is great. Like, I have another question. Like,
match play would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, it would be. Like, if you want to do like 36 hole like stroke play and then just knock out tournament the rest of the way, I think that'd be great. Here's another thing. Like, and this didn't get resolved in 2016. What happens if someone ties for third?
Did you text that to me?
I did.
I was like, yeah, that's a great question. I have no fucking idea what the tiebreaker is. Do they do a sudden death playoff?
I mean, I hope it would be between Siwoo and Sungjae, you know, whose career gets saved from the military. God, that would be, you need to wake me up at like, right, if it's 3 a.m. and there's a sudden death.
But I feel, Can I call?
Because I don't want to get sent to the 40th parallel.
I don't want to wake you up. I don't want to wake up the Mrs. God of Golf and, I know. In the doghouse.
Is there some sort of like Amber Alert you can put on my phone to like wake me out of my sleep?
I don't know, man. But I'll definitely be up watching it. When you told me the schedule, I was like, this is perfect for me. I'm 100%. I'm going to now. I wasn't excited until you told me that it goes like – it ends at like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. Like that's my prime time, baby. Like yeah. That's what I'm going.
God, you rest in peace, your bankroll. You are going to have to do so many live bets at like 11:30 at night.
Listen, nothing wrong with that, man.
Yeah. You know, Carl Siwoo Kim plus 20 to 1. He's going to come back from 6 strokes down while he's winning this.
I already got my Siwoo bet in.
All right, fine. You're going to double down on it then. All right. Well, speaking of him, well, why don't we talk about who's in the field? So this has been kind of wrecked by COVID. Already. John Rahm somehow got COVID again.
I don't like was it's twice in it feels like 6 weeks.
It's so the, when was the memorial? June?
Yeah.
Like, isn't there like I'm not a scientist.
You're supposed to, so yeah, listen, neither one of us are doctors, but yeah. I feel like they said, like when I got COVID, they were like, you're good for 3 months, you can't get it again.
Yeah, you had that's the what they told immunity.
Me. Right. That's what they told me. I'm walking around like, bah, 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 like I can't get it. I got the vaccine, like whatever, like I got it after. But before that, I was like, well, I'm still good. I'm still in my 3 month window.
Like, I don't know.
Clearly,
something seems fishy about this one.
You think he just withdrew?
I don't know.
No, you stop it right now, dude. He put out a statement like he's pissed he doesn't get to go. He lost almost $2 million from getting withdrawn from COVID, and now he can't go fucking play for the gold.
I know. And I just say,
dude, that's happening. Like, whatever, take away whatever you want, but that's heartbreaking for anybody, like, especially like an athlete like that. Like, he could have had another huge win on his career, right, with Memorial, and now he doesn't even get to go represent his country in the Olympics. Dude, that's got to be fucking heartbreaking. It's got to be tough.
Something doesn't add up with it, but whatever. He's out with COVID. Bryson's also out with COVID. Not really too upset about that one. I don't really.
Good.
I don't need to see Bryson vomit all over this place. So who's in the field? I mean, the American team is still stacked. We got Morikawa, we got JT, we got Xander, Patrick Reed, who took the place of Bryson. Tough team. That's a good team. It would be a big surprise if one of them doesn't medal. So then you got
the highest medal placement is for what do you think the highest medal placement is for an American?
Oh, gold.
You think we're taking home the gold?
Why not?
Okay.
I mean, four of the top six American guys are American.
I was just asking.
Morikawa can take home the gold. JT can take home the gold. Xander take home the gold. Reed can take home the gold.
No, okay.
But of course. Yeah. All the eyes are on Hideki because he won here back in 2010, that Asian American amateur. You know, all the way to Japan's on his shoulders. You know, we'll see how that goes. Rory with the Irish flag.
Let's go.
Yep.
Lowry.
You got Hovland, you got Lowry, Casey, answer. About, like, you know, like in DraftKings pricing, like, it's a pretty good field to about $8,500, and then it kind of just drops off. So, I don't know.
Well, I'm not doing any DraftKings this weekend, I don't think.
Never mind. Well, we're going to talk about it tomorrow, so you better get prepared.
Listen, I'll still do some. When I say I don't do any, that means I'll just throw like 100 bucks in.
Well, why don't we talk about the golf course, though? So where are they actually playing? So they're playing, can you pronounce this?
Fuck no, I cannot pronounce this.
All right, Kasumigaseki.
Kasumigaseki.
Kasumigaseki. Yep, Kasumigaseki. It's a private country club, opened in 1929 by C.H. Allison. Allison's like a protege of Alistair McKenzie, of Harry Colt. That doesn't matter, because they end up ripping up this place in 2016, and they brought in Tom Fazio, who just...
You love Tom Fazio.
He does a great job of putting together a very vanilla, bland golf course. Just no nonsense. Like, you want it to be 7,600 yards. You want some bunkers in the fairway. You know, you want some contour greens. You want a lot of earth moved. You want bulldozers everywhere on your golf course. You know, he's your man. And that's what he did to this place. Basically, they realized that, you know, they wanted to hold it here. It's a really nice maintained golf course, but it wasn't long enough. So he came in and he did what Tom Fazio does best. He brought in a bunch of bulldozers, added some new tee boxes, rebuilt all the greens, added some more fairway bunkers, you know, added some more elevation changes, make it quote unquote more natural, even though it really isn't natural. You know, renovated bunkers around the green. I mean, he basically did the same thing here that what he did at like Quail Hollow or Shadow Creek. Like, it just, you spare no expense to create this unnatural looking golf course based on what's around it. So, but the biggest thing he did was, and I'm going to nerd out to Japanese golf architecture right now.
All right.
So a big staple of Japanese golf is the double green system. Are you familiar with the double green system?
So, yeah, I think so, only because of 2K1 and I hit it to the wrong goddamn green. I swear to Christ. Like, I think I hit the wrong green. I was like, what do you mean I'm 130 feet from the pin? It's right in front of me. It's 5 feet in front of me.
Yeah, you hit it to the winter green, so the summer green. Yeah, and that's what it is. So golf is a big deal in Japan, obviously. I mean, right. I think it's the second biggest golf like economy in the world as far as like.
Is it really?
Everyone plays it over there. Yeah, it does a killing over there.
When do they have time? They work those. That's the Japanese to death.
That's the thing. Golf is a great way to blow off steam. And they incorporate a lot of business deals on the golf course.
Of course. So golf is great for.
So golf is very vital to the Japanese economy because, you know, not just because it promotes good mental health for the employees, but a lot of deals get struck there. And so they want to play as much golf as possible. So what they've done on most traditional Japanese golf courses, they have two greens. They have two small greens, one with a northern like strain of grass that's good in cooler climates, like a bent grass or a poa or something. And then the other one would be more tolerant to hot conditions, like it's a Bermuda or it's a Zoysia. And, you know, the temperatures in Tokyo, like this week, it's going to feel like Memphis, basically, in the middle of summer. It's going to be hot, steamy, sticky. But in the winter, it can get down to like, you know, 40, 50 degrees, but they still want to play golf because they have appetite for it. So it's like a bent grass green. So Tom Fazio looked at this like, nah, we're not doing that. We're going to create this basically, this is going to be an all-American golf course now. So he ended up consolidating both the greens. They're now bent grass greens. They're cut to a tenth of a millimeter in length. There's actually a video I posted from the History Channel that I actually talked about to the greenskeepers and all they do. Like this is a very well-conditioned golf course. You see guys like plucking like strands of grass, like they grow it like in their shed or something just to see how the roots grow. They're constantly checking the moisture of the greens, like they're purposely cut, like there's a lot of precision with the mowing lines. But I bring that up with the greens because their bent grass are going to be about a tenth of a millimeter in length. That's about Memorial length. So these are going to be fast greens. And the greens are pretty undulated too. The rough and fairways are Zoysia. And so that's a grass that kind of like the ball sits up pretty nicely. Yeah, even
Zoysia's
rough.
Very nice.
Yeah. So it's a lot of good ball strikers tend to do well at Zoysia golf courses because it's really easy to get good contact on the ball. And when it's that easy, then you kind of maximize, like, all right, like if you're really good at something, their advantage over the field is just more. So as far as like this golf course and a past tournament's played, like I said before, Hideki Matsuyama won the 2010 Asian Pacific Amateur. That was before Tom Fazio renovated it. And I think back then it was only 6,900 yards. Now it's about 7,500 yards. And they're getting a lot of rain this week. So it's going to play like a typhoon, I think, rolled through today. So it's going to play really long. It's going to be a soft golf course. The greens are still going to run fast because just, you know, the greens are just mowed that way. But it's going to be a little bit of a dartboard. It's going to be hard to get a roll out there. So think about, you know, there's a couple places to start, though, as far as what you want to talk about, like with like comps. So you can look at Tom Fazio golf courses. So the ones that are played on the PGA Tour, Quail Hollow is played every year with the Wells Fargo. You had Shadow Creek, which had the CJ Cup last fall. And they had Conway Farms, which is hosted the BMW Championship, I think, for 3 years, like in 13, 15, and 17. So those are the main courses. There's also Corrales down in Punta Cana, but you know what? That's not really this.
No, we can never use that in a decent field golf course. No.
No, that's not really this. I mean, there's a couple of guys in this field who have played that, but yeah. It's
different. Didn't Hovland win there?
No, he won Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
No, and it's past Palom, it's coast. Yeah, right. There's wind. No, I wouldn't use it. So why don't we go through some, like, for Fazio courses, guys have done well there. So obviously JT won the PGA Championship there in 2017. He has a good history there. Hideki's done well. Quail Hollow, he's got a couple top tens. He finished, I think, sixth of the PGA Championship at Quail as well. Rory obviously is the king of Quail Hollow. He's won there three times.
Yep.
Patrick Reed's done well there. Victor Hovland, I think, finished third at Quail this year. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just looking at the betting board. I'm going to derail you. I'm sorry. How is Xander the second favorite?
Well,
how? This is what I'm talking about. This is why it makes me irritated. We have JT, who has won the Players. We have Rory, who just won. Where the fuck did he win? He won Quail, right? Okay. It was the last one that we called it at. Hideki is a Masters winner. Victor just won at the BMW. Patrick Reed has won previous on that. Like, how is he the second favorite?
Maybe they know something you don't.
Yeah, what? That a bunch of money's going to pour in on Xander, and that's going to even out the rest of their handle when somebody else fucking hits? That's what
all right, well, he's won. All right, let me try to justify it. I mean, on a per-round basis for Xander, he is second best of everybody in the field over the last 50 rounds.
That sounds right.
He has won a lot on bank grass greens. He won the WGC China over there. He finished second at Shadow Creek for a Tom Fazio course. I mean, JT's not been playing all that great. Rory struggled at the Open Championship. Hideki had COVID, and he's got a lot of pressure on him. And on a per-round basis, Xander destroys Hideki. Reed is just coming over on a plane. And Hovland, I mean, I like him, but he's never been in contention in a big spot. So, yeah, I can see why Xander is second favorite to Morikawa. There, that's the explanation right there.
Fine. I don't accept it. I mean, I get it. It just makes no sense.
All right. Well, if it makes you feel better, Xander's never done well at Quail Hollow. So there you go.
And listen, it's just the number that it's like, how, why, it, why, who is betting that number? Like, that's like when Ron was like, what was he fucking like? He was like fucking 6-1, 5-1. Like, who the fuck is betting that number?
Well, I didn't bet that number, but I bet a different number for catching a book napping. So
for what?
For Xander.
Oh, fine.
No, I caught a better number for. They took Rom off the board. Regardless, why don't we go to Shadow Creek? Another Tom Fazio. So, like we talked about, Xander finished second at the CJ Cup there last year. You had Joaquin Neiman. He's pretty good on bent grass greens. He finished sixth. You had Cam Smith. Did very well at Shadow Creek last year. He finished 11th. Morikawa, Hovland, and JT all finished 12th. So there's some notable finishes at that golf course. You want to look at Conway Farms. Mark Leishman won there in 2017. Now, I want to like Leishman.
Yeah, me too.
We both got so burned at the
Open. But that should make us go back to him just out of principle because.
I don't know. I might try and find a different way of betting him other than the 40-1.
Some of these metal odds are just fine.
Yeah, that might be the better bet. So anyways, so Conway Farms. So 2015, Rory finished fourth. Hideki finished T7 in Conway Farms in 2015. JT finished T13. Now a lot of guys in the field play Conway Farms. So, I mean, other than Leishman's really the only notable result there.
No.
So, but those are, if you want to look at Tom Fazio golf courses, those are the three. And then Tommy Fleetwood actually walked the course today. I think golf.com did an interview with him. And they tried to ask him about some comments about the golf course, and he had trouble coming up with a couple. He threw out a couple of things. So one of the things it's very popular to try to compare this with Quail Hollow because Tom Fazio, he said that it wasn't quite as demanding off the tee.
I wouldn't expect
as well. Well, I mean, I think I still am going to use Quail because of where you got to put the ball off the tee. Like, there's not as many bunkers and water as Quail, but in order to, like, where you've got to put the ball in relation to where the green is, like, the shapes of the holes, I still see a lot of Quail in this place. So I'm still going to use that. He mentioned that it's because it's so tree-lined. It's a little bit like Harbortown. I don't see that. Harbortown's short.
So short.
It's short, and the greens are small.
Yeah.
And
these greens are huge.
These greens are big. They're also well above the putting surface. Like at Harbortown, you can kind of putt everywhere. I don't see that. I think he was just looking, oh, there's a bunch of trees. Oh, it's Harbortown. One he said, though, that I kind of can dig. This place is a lot longer than it, but Spyglass, as far as how the greens are shaped, okay. I can dig that. Like at Spyglass, the bunkers are really far below the putting surface. Yeah. Now, the greens are a lot smaller, but the back nine of Spyglass kind of reminds me a little bit of this place. But okay. The problem is there's only one round played at Spyglass.
And right.
That will be. So I don't know how helpful that's really going to be. You can also look at the grass types. Well, it's bent grass greens. Fast bent grass. There's plenty of them you can choose from. You can use Augusta National. You can use Memorial. You can use a lot of places. You can use 3M if you want. You know, anybody who's good at bent grass, if you want to use that, you can do that. The Zoysia, too. There are some notable golf courses with Zoysia. You had Trinity Forest. You had TBC Craig Ranch. That actually is one that has Zoysia and bent grass. So that's good. Bellerive, I think, is the big one.
Who won Craig Ranch? I can't remember.
Occasionally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think of these, Bellerive, the 2018 PGA Championship, and Narashino, where they had the Zozo of Japan, yeah. Those are the two best comps for this place. Narashino, because it's a Japanese golf course, that had the double green system, yeah. But it's very similar, at least from the above, like the routing and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's Zoysia fairways and rough, bent grass greens. That's a great leaderboard to look at. There's a couple guys in this field that played there and played well. At that event. And then Bellerive as well. Zoysia fairways and rough, bent grass greens. And honestly, the holes look very similar as far as like it's, you know, long straight away. There's a little bunker over to the right. You got to avoid how the greens are set, how the bunkers are set off the greens. Like Bellerive is probably a great leaderboard to look at as far as.
Why don't you tell the people who to look at?
Well, I mean, JT finished third at Bellerive. I think that's about it for notables. Really just JT. I think Rory missed the cut at Bellerive. I don't think Patrick Reed played very well at Bellerive.
Do we have this discussion that we're done betting Patrick Reed? Are we done betting even in the Olympics? Are we done? Or is that just PGA shit?
We'll talk about him tomorrow. There's something I noticed about the golf course that makes me kind of like him this week.
Of course. Great.
All right. Lastly, why don't we talk about just general betting strategies?
All right. Well, listen, before we do that, listen, you got to make sure you head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for a free $25. That's right. Sign up now for a free shot at $1 million. So go download the app today and sign up at underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. And listen, the SGPN app is live at the App Store and Google Play Store. Gives you easy access to all the picks and podcasts on the entire network. And don't forget to toss us an app or a review and download the SGPN app today. Yeah, listen, we haven't had a review in a minute, so go do that. And then listen, go listen to the rest of the shows, man. We got football coming up, college football. I know Colby's pumping up a bunch of shit. Sean and Ryan have a show, I feel like, every other day. We got Billy killing it with the soccer. We got a whole fantasy shit now. So yeah, listen, go listen to the whole network. Throw everybody your view, man. Helps everybody. Helps us, keep the content going. So go fucking do it.
All right. So I pulled up the Bellerive leaderboard. So the only guys who finished in the top 20 in the field this week that were at Bellerive were JT, finished T6. Thomas Peters, I forgot he actually played very well that week. T6, I know. I know. I saw the little spark in your eye right there. And Shane Lowry finished T12. So those are three guys right there.
No,
I know. So last thing, since we're talking about guys and like where you'd want to bet.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be hard pressed for me for gold, the outright,
right,
that anyone passed like 40-1. Like, and the reason why I say that is it's a couple reasons. First, I look at what happened in 2016 and like this field is a little stronger than the other one. But not by much. I mean, especially because Rahm is gone, Bryson's gone. But even in spite of that, do you remember who won the medals that year? Let's quiz you. So who won gold in 2016?
Is it Rose?
Yep, Rose. He was 12. He was 12-1.
Okay. Okay.
Silver medal. Who won that?
Oh, I don't remember silver. Who won silver?
Henrik Stenson.
And then
four and a half to one. And then bronze.
Bronze was what's his nuts from America.
Yes.
Why the fuck am I blanking?
Probably did not pay his caddy that week.
Oh, Kuchar. That's right. Scumbag.
Yes, Kuchar. 12-1. So there, right there. That was
three. Yeah, but how strong was that field compared to this field?
I think it's about the same strength.
Well, I'll verify that before we talk tomorrow. Okay.
All right, fine. Regardless, I'm just saying, I don't think you should bet anybody past 41. Because, like, all right, let's look at the names.
50-1. 50. Let's... Only because.
Because of one guy, right? One guy. You want to reveal who that guy is?
Everyone knows who it is.
Don't you think everyone's going to bet him anyways?
Siwoo?
Yes. Because the military thing.
Yeah, yeah, listen, I bet him to fucking medal. I don't think I'm betting him to win gold, but I bet him to medal because, listen, how can you not root for that? Like, you want to talk about, like, an awesome thing to root for, watching this guy come down the stretch, trying to get a medal so he doesn't have to go to the military? I've been in the military. Listen, Siwoo, please God, medal. Don't go. Like, he's going to ruin his career. He has to do 2 years, whether it's a desk job or whatever. That's derailing his career. Like, it derails his career. It's fucking ridiculous. Like, the same reason with the Naval Academies and, West Point in this country. Like, who gives a shit if he's a long snapper? You can find another fucking butterbar lieutenant to fucking go do something. Let that guy go make some money, and once his knee blows out, then make him go fucking serve. Let him make his fucking money. And, like, it doesn't – it's, I don't know. It's just maddening to me. It's fucking maddening.
All right. So the guy's past 40-1.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Which 41, I'm looking at Christian Bezaian and Mark Leishman. I can see Mark Leishman winning this. I think he has enough win equity. Guys, 45-1. Guido, Siwoo, Alex Noren, Thomas Peters, Carlos Ortiz, Johnny Vegas. Then we start getting to, like, real crap. No. I don't go nuts.
No, this don't go nuts. Probably no, be, no, I agree.
And honestly, I think this is probably going to be, as far as, like, gold bets, I think once you get past...
I don't even know if I'm going to do a gold bet.
Patrick Reed. I think that's it.
I think I might make 2 gold bets. I'll probably do a handful of medals, and then I'll probably just grind some matchups.
Yeah.
Like, especially if I'm going to be up late and, like, actually... And they're going to show, like, probably all the guys that I want to see. And I'll be able to see how they play every fucking hole. Like, I'm not going to sleep now. Like, I was not excited about the Olympics until I realized I was up and I could just pay attention.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's run through the list. Let's put through the test. Your snap reaction of who's wearing the gold medal. Colin Morikawa. You see it?
I can see it, but I'm not betting. The number's too short.
Just snap reaction. Can you
see? Could he win? Could he win?
Yes. That's all it is. Okay,
yes.
Xander Schauffele.
No.
That's ridiculous, but okay. Justin Thomas.
Yes.
Hideki.
Yes.
Rory.
Yes.
Hovland.
Yes.
Reed.
No.
Paul Casey.
Yes, actually.
I don't think so.
I think he could.
All right. Answer.
Good.
Answer. No. Sung Jae.
No.
Cam Smith.
Yes.
Corey Connors.
No.
Yimin.
No.
Lowry.
Yes.
Fleetwood.
No.
Bazainhoot.
No.
Leishman.
Yes.
All right. You basically narrowed the list to, like, 6 guys.
Yeah. And probably 2 of them are just my heart.
Yeah, probably.
If not 3.
I think the moral of the story is, if you're looking at, like Thomas Dietrich 125-1, Sebastian Munoz 100-1, like, I think you need to check what you're doing.
Yeah, that's fine. And if anybody wants, feel free to inquire. I do take people's action.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, so in full disclosure, I grabbed 3 guys at 14 before Rahm got adjusted.
Oh, nice. You got Maury.
I got Morikawa. I got Xander. I got JT.
All right. Team USA.
Actually, what? No, I got Hovland at 14 as well. So I have 4. That's probably it for me.
Hovland's
so
still at
4 guys.
Hovland's still at 14.
I know. I wasn't happy that he didn't move ever. I didn't care.
I'll join you on that.
Okay. So those are clearly not there. I will not be recommending you bet Morikawa at 6.5-1. Or all those guys. But we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Listen, we'll get into it with the DFS and Ben show. I mean, in reality, if you like Team USA, we got to hope we get off to a slow start on fucking Wednesday, I guess.
Yeah. I think the last thing I want to say is, you got to be up late in order to live bet this thing.
That's right.
If you like a lot of sleepers, you should do top five or win a medal if those are available. The odds are still actually pretty good for those. That's probably a better avenue than throw in 80-1 Johnny Vegas money into the fire.
Yeah. Fucking Vegas.
That's all I got.
God, that's all I got too. Listen, man, listen. So we're going to put out this show. The next night is going to be DFS and betting, and it's going to be what time? 6:30 on Wednesday, local time, yep. Eastern
on Wednesday.
Eastern time. So it'll be there for your ride. The betting and DFS show will be there for your ride into work on Wednesday. So listen, and we'll break it down and break down some DFS and figure out maybe some longer shot weird, maybe some top tens and things like that. Like some Mito Pereira love, maybe. So a guy from Chile.
Yeah, everyone loves Mito Pereira.
Yeah. But and Munaf's boy Jazz. Maybe Jazz can come through.
Oh, there you go.
You know what I mean? Like, let's. It is kind of funny. Look at somebody like CT Pan. Like, I mean, there's some guys down here that they can do something.
Yeah. No, I mean, for a top 10, I think going down the board for top 10s is perfectly fine for a lot of this crap stuff. I feel like
that's where I'm going to put most of my units this week.
I think you should too. And yeah. I think one thing too, I looked at the matchup board. The one thing to be careful about that is if someone gets off to a bad start, like, you're probably done with that, because there's no incentive at that point.
Yeah.
Like, they're not fighting for sponsorship money.
Right.
None of that stuff.
Right. I typically always do first round matchups. I will do no first round matchups for the Olympics.
Oh, no. I was just talking about tournament matchups.
So I take that back. So same thing. No tournament matchups, no first round matchups.
Okay.
I might do first round matchups, but no tournament matchups.
Okay. And I don't think there's going to be Shotlink data here either. So.
Yeah, shocking. All right. Well, listen, come to the Slack channel. Come drop some knowledge. Come check us out. And Twitter the Steve will always put out his articles. Go check on those, man. You'll find the Slack channel at the bottom of that. You can find me on Twitter, Boston_Gapper. Hit me up. But other than that, man, it's Olympic week. Let's go break them fucking books. Go USA.